Would you take your Bibles? I want to direct you to two very quick but necessary passages concerning our Lord's birth. One is very familiar, pretty familiar, especially because we heard of it referred to in the song. Luke chapter 1, Gospel of Luke chapter 1, the angel is letting Mary know what's going to be happening here. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.'" Many beautiful songs in the cantata. Amen. Many of them, I'm sure, spoke to our hearts personally and individually, just where we are, because God can do that with this presentation and, of course, with his word. But two that stood out to me were the two solos, Mary and then Joseph. As Yancey pointed out long ago in his book many years ago, Mary was the first person to accept Jesus on his terms, regardless of the cost. Joseph was the second. And beloved, when we sing, when we worship, the thing is that we do it in the right heart and spirit, of course. But does it really get to our soul and spirit to change us? The men's breakfast yesterday that we had was just very good fellowship in every way. Ben Wissing led the study from Matthew 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Ben did a lot of study and preparation for that, and yet he freely confessed to us that, you know, in all of his reading commentaries and things, that he didn't ever want to pretend that he had a handle on all the passage and knew everything about it. But God led him to do this so wisely. God led him to say, well, you know, you can look at all the different interpretations or all the different meanings of the things, and that's all important and good. But, you know, here's what Jesus' words were saying to me. And he made it so personal in his application, and then it challenged us to do the same thing. And in the same way, when we hear anything from God's word, or even truth from God's word presented in a cantata like this, beloved, God wants us to go beyond just being blessed by the moment and blessed by the music and the spirit and all the atmosphere, all the good things that it is, but to let it go to our hearts to apply it. And you know, whenever you talk about personal application, what it really comes down to, if it's going to really personally be applied to us, then it has to change us. Personal application means personal alteration. To where something then changes, something is renewed, restored, or replaced. So that in our hearts and minds, we align with the things of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go from this passage, this rather familiar passage of Jesus' birth, Luke 1, Luke 2, you know, when the shepherds arrive and the angels sing. Wonderful that. But let's go to another Christmas passage in the Bible. This one a little more obscure and not quite thought of immediately, but 1 John chapter 3, way in the epistles of John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The Gospel of John, written by John the Apostle, and then later these letters, these epistles. And John, reflecting many years now later on Jesus' birth and why he came, and now he's in heaven reigning, and he's left us on earth to be his people. And he writes to us as Christians, and he says, remember this. Apply this, the reason why God did it this way. John 3:8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared, another way you can translate that word is the reason he was manifested, the reason he came into this world, that he came the way that he did. The reason he came this way was to destroy the works of the devil. When you think of a baby in a manger, the last two things you think about is that that baby could ever grow up and be a person spit upon, bruised, whipped, beaten, bloody, murdered. The most horrible thing you would ever want to imagine happening to a beautiful little baby. And the other thing you don't ever really think about as we think of a baby in a manger in our common notions is that such a baby like that could destroy the devil and his works. Destroy the evil, the pain, the hurt, the suffering of this world. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't it awesome? Isn't it hard to fathom? But he can. And how he does it is through love. Love is the only way to overcome evil and wickedness. Love is the only way to atone for sin. Love is the only way to take enemies and make them your friends. Forgiving grace and love. John, as he writes this and reminds believers about the reason he was incarnated this way, puts it in the context of Christians, those who know Jesus, about their walk with the Lord, their daily lives, as their Christian lives, as they live their life out, as God gives them life and breath, and says, as you live with each other and in this world, live in such a way to show that though he was a baby, right? He was a baby. He was in the manger. He grew to be a man, and he was beaten and bloodied and murdered and crucified. But he's what? He's risen. He's alive. Amen? He's ascended in heaven and he reigns and lives as Lord and King. Amen?
Amen.
But yet he is still in this world. He still does live down here through us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is us. He's in us. And so, beloved, during this Christmas season, when we want to sing about, appropriately so, and remember, O Holy Night. How about this? It was a wonderful holy night. Amen? But God intended it to be also O Holy Day. O Holy Hour by Hour, us as His people, Him living His life through us, we modeling Jesus. Hour by hour, day by day, lifetime by lifetime, till he comes again. And showing others who he is and the difference he makes. O holy night, O holy day, O holy hour, O holy tongue, what we say or don't say to one another. O holy hands, what we do or don't do, what we should do or should not do. O holy feet, where we do go by his leading and for his will and purposes, or where we shouldn't go and don't. O holy life that he wants to live through us still. Beloved, it's wonderful to sing Christmas songs. It's wonderful to have them sung to us. It's wonderful to have all the wonderful this season that God uses to bless and to make such wonderful memories, give us joy and hope. But nothing's more important than letting Emmanuel live his life in us, those of us who name the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Look at the rest of the words from John, 1 John 3:8. He came. He appeared to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. He cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. And by this verse 10, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So clearly, God's word spells out to us, You will know when you see Emmanuel, God in us, because there will be love, grace. There will be the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Remember those? But when you see the works of the flesh, also mentioned in Galatians 5, then those are the works of the devil. Right? He came to destroy those works. Now I'm going to direct you to one closing thought, and then we'll close, but you got to turn in your hymnal to number 169, quickly. 169. Preachers are never supposed to do this. Here we go. I'm preaching from the hymnal. But here's the point. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, 169. That's right, right? That's the right number? Okay. And I don't know if it's, I guess it's probably verse 3, I think. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Jesus has been born in the manger. Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. Jesus is risen from the dead. He ascended from the Mount of Olives. He's coming again. But beloved, he wants to be and he needs to be born in us today. And so the most wonderful and blessed and most worthy thing we can do as God's people to worship our Lord is not lovingly and graciously and thankfully hear a cantata. It's because of this cantata. Now let Jesus live his life through us, destroy the works of the devil, and live the fruits of the Spirit with each other. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's honor God. Let's honor God and let him be God. Let's accept Jesus on his terms, regardless of the cost, by letting him have his way in cleansing us and empowering us with his Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord God, we pray and we ask that you'll do just this. This wonderful cantata of worship, of praise, of hope, Lord, of declaration, that it, Lord, please, stirs us to let you have your way on your terms with our lives. Where we must repent from sin, Lord, lead us to that genuine repentance of sin toward you, toward each other. Father, where we, Lord, need to forgive those who've wounded and hurt us, we pray you'll lead us with your power to do that and demonstrate love, overcome evil with good, blessing with cursing. Lord, where we have sinned and wronged others, humble us and help us to humble ourselves and apologize and ask for forgiveness. And then, Lord, the things you've assigned to so many of us here in many different ways, some of them physical, some of them more in relationships, difficult, hard, Lord, to accept. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us accept on your terms. Lord, when we don't understand, we will trust you, and we will trust your purposes to be worked out for your glory. And Lord, you did come humbly as a baby in a manger because you came not in power to overwhelm or to conquer, but in love to forgive and to destroy the devil's work through love, your love. Thank you. We thank you, Lord. We worship you and ask you to do this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.